Even one who throughout his life has practiced chanting the holy name of the Lord may not be able to chant the Hare Krishna mantra very distinctly. Nevertheless, such a person receives all the benefit of chanting the holy name. While the body is fit, therefore, why should we not chant the holy name of the Lord loudly and distinctly? If one does so, it is quite possible that even at the time of death, he will be properly able to chant the holy name of the Lord with love and faith. In conclusion, one who chants the holy name of the Lord constantly is guaranteed to return home back to Godhead without a doubt. Om Jnanati Vrindasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshunodritam Jena Tasmai Shri Guru Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Sakutam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Pranamayam Dadati Swayam Padachitam He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Tantara Dada Namasate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhya Vritavaneshwari Vrishabhana Sute Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Namaste Saraswati Deva Gauravani Prachayane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshatari. So we are finishing with chapter 2 today. This chapter in which the deliverance of the Tamil by the mercy, by the compassion of Vishnu Buddha is explained. And how in this chapter Vishnu Duttas are actually glorifying the holy name to Yamaduttas. And for the Yamaduttas, it's a surprise, it's a shock that how is it possible that by just chanting one word, Narayan, this simple man is free. We'll discuss a little more about that later. But Yamaduttas could not argue, could not fight any years with the Vishnu Duttas, and they depart. That's where the next chapter begins, where now they will go and question their own Lord and Master Yamaraj. And when they will question Yamaraj, it's very interesting how Yamaraj will teach to them now. And these three chapters in which the focus from the glorification of the holy name is not even moved an inch. It's just constantly hammering how powerful, how potent the holy name is. I was just going through, I think more than 100+ lectures or something Srila Prabhupada himself has given in these three chapters. So quite a bit of emphasis. And we ourselves are reading practically every day same message. So for entertainment purpose, not much can be changed. It's still the same message. Ajamil, who became very much moved by the conversation, by the whole episode, departs to Haridwar. He thanks, he expresses his gratitude to Vishnu Duttas, and he leaves to Haridwar. There he resides in the temple of the Lord, and he hopes to perfect man. Many times when this statement is said that just by one chanting of the name of Narayan, the Tamil got liberated, there is a lot in between what he had to do. The other day, only one devotee was asking, oh, isn't it a very overstatement that just by chanting Narayan he got liberated? I said, because you haven't read the section. He had to go and meditate, do devotional service, serve the deities, serve the temple, serve the Lord, serve the devotees, continue his chanting for 15 years approximately. Then he got perfected, and then he went back home back to God. And Yamaduttas or Krishnaduttas came in the Vimana, in the plane, to take a young back. And here we are right now, where this past time, this narration is finishing. And and the focus will shift to Yamaraj preaching to Yamuna first. So in this particular verse, which is almost like the full Shruti, where Sukadeva Goswami is giving the benefit of hearing and describing and chanting this pastime. And how amazing is the benefit. It's just if by devotion someone reads and describes this pastime, he is no longer doomed to his life, regardless of him having a material body and regardless of how simple one person may be. Just by hearing and describing this pastime, but the condition is with loving, devotion. So here loving devotion basically translates more to faith. Faith in this pastime not being overstatement, exaggeration. Then in many senses, even in the Tamil passage you see, do not give any interpretation on the holy name of the Lord, any mundane interpretation on the holy name of the Lord. So these acharyas, especially Sukadeva Goswami, who is quoting Ayana in his pastime, they will not give just any interpretation of the holy name of the Lord, where they will quote the pastime of Ayana, which is from a logical point of view, very overstated leela by chanting the name of the Sri. So these doubts are there in many devotees' minds also. When I say devotee, of course, I'm talking about those devotees who were still starting their, who were recently starting their Krishna consciousness, or can be in the mind of those who are here for many decades. Because as soon as we try to use logic and try to argue based on that particular logic and how it is possible to achieve such a benefit, then immediately we feel there is a spirit there. There is our progress, our faith is challenged. So it's good to not be a blind follower, but there is a thin line between a blind follower and whom to follow blindly. So this is where a solution to such dilemma is already nicely given by Yudhishthira Maharaj himself in Mahabharata. And this is a very, very famous verse which we must have heard many times, but I was surprised when Lord Chaitanya himself quotes this verse, quoting Yudhishthira Maharaj. And Lord Chaitanya is Krishna himself, who is establishing how important, how powerful this particular verse which we will read and discuss now is, especially when it comes to establish subject matter which are beyond human capacity. The verse is from Mahabharata, 1 Bhagavad. Tarko Krishna Sutal Bhinna Nasa Vrishi Yasya Matam Madhinna Dharma Se Tarkam Nihitam Uhaya Mahajan Yena Tadha Sanamya. Tarka, dry arguments are inconclusive. A great personality whose opinion does not differ from other is not considered as a sage. If you are Muni, and if your opinion is matching with another Muni, that means you are not very good standard Muni. That means to establish yourself as a Muni, as a learned person, you have to contradict the other authority. Then how do you rely on such knowledge? Simply by studying the Vedas, which are very limited, one cannot come to the right path by which religious principles are understood. The solid truth of religious principles, this is the solution now, the solid truth of religious principles is hidden in the heart of an unadulterated self-realized person. Consequently, as the Shastras confirm, one should accept, this is the statement, one should accept whatever progressive path the Mahajans advocate. One should accept whatever progressive path these great personalities are explaining to us. Why? Because the subject matter is himself is a dosha. The subject matter himself is beyond the senses, beyond mind. Krishna's name is a dosha. Akshaja means senses. Someone who is beyond the senses, who is beyond the mind, how much endeavor people to understand with their own intelligence, with own mind, it has to be futile. So the purpose, or the not purpose, but the process itself to understand personality, who is beyond mind and senses, has to be beyond mind and senses. And that's where this particular verse makes a very clear statement that if you want to understand this transcendental glories of the Lord, His holy name and His pastime, you must hear from those personalities who are self-realized and whose heart is unadulterated. There is no contamination. Why? Because then only you can experience something beyond mind and senses. So this is a very important statement. And Lord Chaitanya himself
exemplifies this
verse. Even though he himself is Supreme Lord, but in his pastime as a devotee of the Lord, in many different occasions he goes on questioning his own devotees as if he is ignorant and he wants to hear from them. In the case it's like he is questioning Ramanandaraya. And Ramanandaraya is saying, I am just repeating what you are speaking from my mouth. But still Lord Chaitanya wants to hear from him. Then in one occasion, Lord Chaitanya is, I think it's Mandalila. Lord Chaitanya is very down. He's feeling very compassionate and he is feeling very sorrow. He expresses sorrow. And he questions Haridas Thakur. And in his question to Haridas Thakur, Lord Chaitanya is asking that what will happen to this very unfortunate Malaysian governors, these meat eaters, these people who are Mohammedans that time. That what is the hope for them? How are they going to cross beyond this material existence? Because they kill cows. They eat, they slaughter cows and they eat cows. What is the hope for them? And seeing the anxiety of Lord Chaitanya, Haridas Thakur tells Lord Chaitanya that, my dear Lord, please don't be anxiety. Because the holy name of the Supreme Lord is so powerful that these Malaysia, these Yamana, they very regularly, practically every day, many times, they say haram, haram. Haram is abominable. So, and anything abominable they see, they just say haram, haram. And Haridas Thakur explains that a devotee in great ecstasy, when a devotee is in really great ecstasy, he calls out, oh my dear Lord Ramachandra, oh my dear Lord Ramachandra, and it's a sign of ecstasy by devotee. And haram also means, oh Lord Ramachandra. So these people, as soon as they see something abominable, especially in Muslim community, when they come in contact with fear, oh, they say, oh haram, it's haram. Or something wrong which is happening against their religion, they say, this is haram. So in a day, a few times they say haram. So Haridas Thakur himself is born in a modern family. He himself is explained to Lord Chaitanya, don't be in anxiety. And Prabhupada, in the world where Haridas Thakur is saying, don't be in anxiety, he amazingly writes. Prabhupada explains that this is the duty of all the devotees, to free Lord Chaitanya of his anxiety on how to deliver the tradition souls. And all of us must work to free the Supreme Lord of his anxiety on basically how he is going to deliver the fallen conditioned souls. And Prabhupada says, now if someone is working hard to deliver the fallen conditioned souls and there are foolish people who are criticizing, imagine the hellish destination of such people. By reading itself, you feel Prabhupada is talking about himself there, that how much hard he is working to relieve people from the clutches of material suffering. And then there is criticism to Prabhupada. So continuing further, then Haridas Thakur explains, he quotes Narasimha Purana and he explains a story in which in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it says Malaysia, a meat eater, but in one of the lectures, Prabhupada says that it appears that even in Narasimha Purana, When Murichi Ananda's attention, who were calling out haram, haram, looks like such community was existing that time also. Who would say haram quite often? So he heard the Sadhu quote this story from Narasimha Puran, where he says that there was one Malaysia, this low class man was there, and then he was attacked by a wild hog. And he was practically killed. So while this person was dying, because he was attacked by a hog, he was touched by a hog, he started shouting, haram, haram. And because he was calling out, oh Lord Ramachandra, he was liberated. So he is telling Lord Chaitanya, please don't worry, this is the power of the holy name of the Lord. So it is powerful enough. This is a very, very amazing verse. It goes, Damsi dam sahrito malecho, he rameti puna puna, ukvapi mukti maknoti, kim puna shraddaya dhyana. Even a Malaysia who is being killed by the tusk of a boar and who cries in distress again and again, Ha Ram, attains liberation. What then to speak of those who chant the holy name with veneration and faith? Further, because this whole section is glorifying, Haridas Thakur even tells Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that for liberation, to free oneself from sinful reactions, why someone has to in devotion, the whole bhakti has to chant the holy name. Just the nama bhas, unknowing chanting of the holy name itself can give liberation. And then later he quotes amazing words from Paramahansa, which Narasimha Goswami even includes in the Bhakti Vilas. It's amazing words. I'll just read the translation of this little bit. But the meaning is just too good. He says, if a devotee once utters the holy name of the Lord, or if it penetrates his mind, or enters his ear, which is a channel of oral deception, that holy name will certainly deliver him from material bondage, whether vibrated properly or improperly, with correct or incorrect grammar, or properly joined or vibrated in separate words, even the words Ram doesn't have to be together. That also can be separated into different words. O Brahmana, the potency of the holy name is therefore certainly great. However, if one uses the vibration of the holy name for the benefit of material body, for material wealth and followers, or under the influence of greed or atheism, in other words, if one utters the name with offenses, such chanting will not produce the desired result very soon. Therefore, one should diligently avoid offenses in chanting the holy name of the Lord. So, later towards the end, we will discuss how we as devotees who are neither like Ajamil, who are very sinful and who are not interested in chanting the holy name, are neither we are, or some of you may be, please tell me, we are not like pure chanters of the holy name. We are in between. We are not like Ajamil, sinful, who there is no consideration about the holy name, and we don't have pure chanting, we don't offensively chant also. So, what is the solution for us? But for now, at least this tattva, if can be understood properly, this is going to be a great benefit. Because Narasimha Goswami gives the example while explaining the power of the holy name. He says that even if one utters the remembrance of the holy name, but it catches his mind while hearing the name, in separate words, the holy name will act. And he gives two examples. He says, suppose if someone is saying halam ritam, halam ritam. So now halam ritam has nothing to do with the holy name of the Lord. Now Sanatana Goswami says, if you take ha from halam word and ri from ritam word, it becomes hari. So this person will get the benefit of chanting hari. That's the power of the holy name. The other word, example, is Raj Mahishi. So he says, if you take Ra from Raja and Ma from Mahishi, and you say Ra Mahishi word, you will get the benefit of saying Ra, because Ra, Ma.
So this is the power of the holy name.
Only thing is, you should not use the holy name for material benefits. If that can be avoided, amazing results can be achieved.
Then the holy name has so much potency that it can deliver one from all sinful reactions, material and environment.
But utterance of the holy name will not be very soon fruitful if it is done for facilitating sinning. If to support our sin, anyone is doing it, no result. Now, how one can use it for facilitating sin? One is, someone can have a very clear, simple understanding. I chant, I remove a simple reaction, then I go up and I do sin. Then it's a given take, it will nullify. Oh, because in nature I have heard that good activity does not nullify bad activity. So bad activity is the result I will get if I do something wrong. If I do something good, I get benefit of that also. So that is not going to nullify the bad. If I do 10 good activities and I do 5 bad, it's not that I will get benefit of 5 good activities. I will have to suffer both. But the holy name can give me the benefit. Holy name can eradicate the sinful reaction. So then I will use holy name. I will use Krishna as my private cleaner to remove my sinful reactions. And I will chant and I will sinful activity also. This holy name will draw this potency. It will list the main letters. Or as it says there, where not very soon you will receive the fruit. It will be very, very, very delayed.
Or someone can,
you do sin by behaving or acting like a devotee, by posing oneself as a devotee. And because you have to pose yourself as a devotee, because you have some agenda, then you have to chant. Because then you have to chant also. But this is for someone who knows all this knowledge he has, but still misuses the process, the facilities, the attire, the arrangement, and then has a mindset, a very clear mindset of how I want to misuse the position, because people see me as a devotee. Whereas there are instances where new people, personally know this person, this devotee, he became a devotee by faking as a devotee. He was just totally faking. This person was a very, from a very rich family, he just wanted to go abroad. He thought this is a good idea. I go to Vrindavan, I marry someone from America, and I go abroad. It's easy, it's harder than the thing to go. Money wise, not a problem, enough money is there. He goes to Vrindavan, now he has a beat back. Now everyone in temple has a beat back. But he has to show he is a good way. So he has a beat back, but inside the beat back, he has peanuts instead of beads. Because some sound you have to make it, and some shape you have to show to the beat back. So not the peanuts which is directly you can eat, but with the shell. So that is like this beat, and he's just faking. And from there, he eventually purifies and becomes a great book distributor later. Like books in thousands. So holy name did work for such a person. But now, after hearing all the glories of the holy name, then if one tries to act same, then holy name will not work. Because now the mercy is withdrawn, because now the mentality is very much achieving. The glories of the holy name is so amazing. But if not heard and accepted as it is by this great personality, this Mahajan, it will confuse even learned scholars. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, we hear the story of Gopal Chakravarti. Aristocratic person, learned, beautiful looking. When he hears from Haridas Thakur that just by faint chanting of the holy name, liberation is guaranteed. This Gopal Chandra immediately challenged Haridasa. He said, oh, what a claim are you making? How dull can you be, Haridasa? How can just by namahas, just by casually chanting the holy name, you can get liberation, which yogis and jnanis are working hard for lifetimes to get liberation and they don't get it. Haridasa said, yes, you will get it. This person did not understand the shloka we read before. The Yudhishthira Maharaj says that just follow what Mahajana says. This great personality, whatever they say, just accept. Do not use your logic. Do not use too much of intelligence in that. Why? Because they are speaking from realization. They are not just sitting on Vyasas because they say, Bhava Purna, they are in the real class of Mahajana. They speak from realization. So, just by hearing them, it's different. It's very different. Just by hearing, just accept whatever they say. He challenged, he said no. Then he told Haridasa Thakur, if what you are saying is true, I challenge you, your nose will fall off. Basically, you will get a disease and your nose will fall off. There's been 2 days. This Gopal Chakravarti contacts leprosy. And leprosy is a disease where your limb starts to decay and melt off. And first thing that happened to him is that his nose melted, all parts started melting and fell off. And he understood, oh Lord, I challenged the wrong person. Haridasa didn't take the offense, but Krishna could not tolerate. How can you say Haridasa is cheated, is fake? The holy name has that power, you see.
Even Vishwanathakir Thakur gives a very nice example.
He says that if you remove the fangs of a poisonous snake, the poisonous fangs, if you completely remove, what happens by once removing the poisonous fangs completely of a snake is that whoever comes in contact with the snake in future is saved. Because whoever will bite, nothing will happen. See, he says, similarly, if a devotee chants the holy name even once, purely, without offense, he says, it will protect him eternally. Why? Because the result of the chanting is going to mature in due course. And he has chanted once without any offense. This is the classic example he gives. Srila Prabhupada has spoken a lot on these three chapters. Many lectures on these three chapters. And he always has compiled a book, Second Chance, on this leela, this pastime of Bhajanamas, which has 22 chapters. So all the main important verses have been commented upon. Many of the chapters are just purports and directly purports are the way we have written. And Prabhupada's lectures are also written. And basically they compile this book. So towards the end, right in the last chapter of the second chance, the second chapter, Prabhupada gives a solution to us and what should we do as a devotee who are neither Akhandi, who may not be a pure chanter also, what we are supposed to do as a solution. And there Prabhupada quotes something from Parmukha to basically simplify it for us. He says, Nama Kali Yukta Nama Nama Niyeva Ranti Nam Avishranti Prayuktani Tani Eva Thakarani Chaya. Prabhupada says, even if one chants the Hare Krishna mantra offensively, one can nullify these offenses by continuously chanting without deviation. This is a solution for us. Even if you chant with offenses, just continue chanting without deviation. One who becomes accustomed to this practice will always remain in a pure transcendental position, untouchable by sinful reactions. So what to do for us? Continue chanting. We will commit offense, but continue chanting. And then our attempt can be just so that we avoid purposefully committing these offenses. Nama Baladesya Bhava Yodhi. To commit sin on the strength of the holy name. Prabhupada says, a devotee's duty is to chant Hare Krishna mantra. One may sometimes chant with offenses and sometimes without offenses. But if one seriously adopts this process, he will achieve perfection which cannot be achieved through Vedic rituals and ceremonies of atonement. So, a very simple solution. this particular topic I want to finish now, and we very briefly discuss about a very great personality whose disappearance is today. Chaitanya Goswami, a very famous personality who appeared before almost 300 years before Lord Chaitanya appeared, and his poetry, his Gita Govinda, his Dashavatara Stotra, the glorification of the 10 incarnations are so famous. So famous that it's not just devotees, but many people just follow it and chant. He is such a poet, he was such a personality who has created a lot of impact in the area of art, music, dance. In Rajasthan, many of the arts on the walls you see is very much connected to the poems of Chaitanya Goswami. He appeared in the village known as Kenduli near Ajaypur, is in West Bengal. Then there is a good, very nice, beautiful temple there. There is glorification. There is deity Radhamata also. So he was almost 300 years before he appeared, Lord Chaitanya from Sri Gojadevi and Srimati Mahamadevi, his parents. From a very early childhood, Jayadeva Goswami displayed extraordinary behavior, very detached from material activities. And very early on, he mastered Sanskrit, which was later also seen in his composition in Gita Govinda, how amazingly he has glorified the pastimes of Krishna with the gopis in separation. So, a very exalted book. Prabhupada didn't recommend many devotees to read it, because it's very exalted. Unless we are exalted, we can of course read it. I think Bala Swami has done a translation of that. He has translated it to some parts at least. Very amazing personality. He was so. His Dashavatara Stotra, where he is glorifying the 10 incarnations and the purpose of appearance, why they are coming, in which he doesn't put Krishna in the list of 10 incarnations, but he explains Krishna as the source of incarnation. When the king of Bengal that time, Lakshman Sen, heard this glorification by Jayadeva Goswami, he was so desperate to meet who is the singer, who is the poet, who has decided it, who is the author. And he disguised himself and went to see like this Jayadeva Goswami in his hut. And he was shocked. He was really moved by seeing all the extraordinary features, behavior, characteristics of pure devotee Jayadeva Goswami. That in fact he requested him that can you come and reside with me in my palace? His headquarters was in Mayapur that time, and no one knew what Namdev is, what Mayapur is that time, because Lord Chaitanya has not appeared yet. So public masses were not aware of it. Even Jayadeva Goswami did not know. So then Jayadeva Goswami outright rejected that I cannot stay with the king, because he was very renounced. So near his palace in Champahati, the king constructed a hut to stay. And there, that's the place where Lord Chaitanya appeared to Jayadeva Goswami. His deities Radha Madhava also appeared to him, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to him and told him that you go to Jagannath Puri, I am going to appear in Navadi, later you come back here in your life and finish your pastimes in Navadi. But for now, you leave this place and go to Jagannath Puri. I will also come and stay in Jagannath Puri, and there I will regularly hear and recite your work. Jayadeva Goswami was not very happy that he used to leave the appearance place of Lord Chaitanya himself, who is none other than combined form of Radha and Krishna. But following the instructions, he goes to Jagannath Puri, and there he resided in Puri, and he would regularly take darshan of Lord Jagannath. Now he was a very renounced person, no desire for marriage, no desire for anything to do. He was busy in his bhajan, in his emotional ecstasy of Krishna Leela. But there was a Brahmana named Sudev. He was very desperate to have a child. So he promised Jagannath, if I get a son, I will offer it to you. If I get a daughter, I will make her as a maid servant. But give me a child. So he gets a daughter, girl child. Then when the girl was born, Lord Jagannath himself appeared to him and told that when she is grown up enough, you go to Jayadeva Goswami and get her married to Jayadeva. Now Jayadeva is a renunciate. So he does that. The father does that. The man takes the daughter when she is grown up enough and goes to Jayadeva and says, Jagannath has told this and she is your wife. Please accept her. And he walks away. Drops his daughter and leaves. And Jayadeva is saying, I cannot keep her. I don't want to be entangled in married life. I don't want this wife business. And he tells the girl that you tell me where you want to go. I will go and drop you. You cannot stay here. So the girl starts to cry. Who wants Jagannath's desire? I have accepted you as a Lord and Master. Now you are everything for me. I am not leaving you. And seeing the condition, then Jayadeva Goswami accepted her. And her name was Padmavati, who became the glorious wife of Jayadeva Goswami. Very famous. Now Jayadeva Goswami then composed Gita Govinda, which became his very famous work. Now this Gita Govinda, which is talking about Krishna's pastime with the gopis in separation in Rasa Gita, very intimate pastime. Some sections are so intimate that you can build the mind of many, many gopis. It's like this, but not really on the right side of the pastime. So now he came to a passage while he was reciting, and it's not that he's reading and writing something, translating. It would appear in his mind the Leela of Krishna and he would write. So he's in that pastime where Radharani is very upset because Krishna has left her. And then he is very hesitant to write after that. And he is hesitant because the thought he is getting is that Krishna will come and bow down at the feet of Radharani and ask for forgiveness. And he says, how can I write that? Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How can he come and bow down at the feet of Radharani and ask for forgiveness? So he takes a break. He has written that Radharani is very upset and because Krishna has gone away and she is very angry. And he stops writing and he says, why do I take a break? Because I cannot write this. And he leaves home, he goes out for his daily duties. And then Krishna, disguised as Jayadeva Goswami, comes to his house. And his wife is surprised, how come you came so early? He says, yeah, my work was finished. He says, can you give me the work, my manuscript I was working on? And he gets the manuscript and he writes something on there. And what he writes? He writes, Dehi Pada Pallava. Pallava Muktam, which literally means Krishna bows down his head at the lotus feet of Sridhar. That much he completes the parallel, the shloka. And then he says, I am going to take rest inside. He eats prasadam. His wife works for Jayadeva Goswami with Krishna. He says, I am going to the room to rest. And then when he is resting, Jayadeva Goswami comes. And my wife is shocked, how come you are coming now? Who is resting inside? He says, what happened? She explains that you just asked for a manuscript. I gave it to you. You ate and then you went for lunching. He says, bring me the manuscript. And they both were so moved that my hesitation, Krishna has actually confirmed it, that for out of love for his devotees, especially devotees like Radharani, Krishna will not mind bowing down at her feet. And that is the love Krishna has for his devotees. And they both were tears, and of course tears, no one was missing inside it. Now that disappeared. And they were so excited that Krishna himself came in our heart and blessed us like that. So these were the great glories of Jayadeva Goswami and Swami Padmavati. His Gita Govinda was so much enchanting with Lord Jagannath that once Lord Jagannath was falling in the water and there was one girl in the garden reciting Gita Govinda. She was just singing it. And Jagannath heard this Gita Govinda and he couldn't stop. He just wanted to go where the girl was. So he walks off the altar. And he starts walking towards the garden. And Devanand is so absorbed in Gita Govinda, in the singing of this nectarian verses from this book, Gita Govinda, that his whole ear stuck in the thorny bushes, mostly from the bottom stone, it's very thirsty, very muddy. And he hears Gita Govinda when he is about to reach the third leaves, and Jagannath comes back to the order. And next day, the Pujari, the priest, saw that how come Jagannath's body is torn and is all water around. And they went and informed the king. And king came, and king started asking for forgiveness from Jagannath, that I think you have done some mistake, you are not happy with us. How come your body is torn? It's all water around. And they are trying to understand what has happened, why Jagannath's body clothes are like that. And then later Jagannath appears in the mind of the king and explains him that I actually walked off the water to hear the sea, the Buddha from this earth. And then king, what he does, he goes on for searching this earth. He requests the family, explains that this is what has happened. Please come and stay near the Jagannath temple. And every day please recite this Gita Govinda to Jagannath. So since then, with almost 800 odd years back, since then, 700 years back, the dynasty, the girl's family, the lineage, the future generations, every day only from that Padma, her name is Padma, someone from our family is every day reciting Gita Govinda for Lord Jagannath, till now. In the same family, it is coming, 700 years or something. Very powerful. Even Lord Chaitanya, in his later pastimes, would regularly hear from Kedari Goswami's work, Chandidas' work, from Ramananda Raya Sultana. So, very amazing personality. Then, in his later years, he went back to Kendali, his village, Kedari Goswami. And he had a habit that he would walk for very long distance to go and take bath in the Ganga. Back then. But because he was getting old, one day he did not go. Because it's very long walk. He has to go to Mother Ganga and take bath. He was such a personality that Mother Ganga herself came to him. And as a personification. And she said that, please, I want you to take bath in me and purify me. So she said, because you cannot come, I will come to you every day. And she would bathe there for some. And there was some sort of blessing of Mother Ganga on him. And of course, later they constructed a big temple in his glorification. His deity is Sarada Mother who worshipped there. So today he disappears, very great personality. We seek his blessings, but at least, if not more, but at least this Ajamil pastime becomes. At least the philosophy which this pastime is trying to explain does not appear to be all the statements. It just becomes real for us. And then some success is there. So I'll just stop there and see if any questions or comments or questions on what we discussed.
Thank you very much for your class. Would you like to tell us, after Lord Krishna, after Lord Krishna left Delhi's residence, the past time, how Delhi left his wife? How Delhi left his wife after Lord Krishna left the going down?
You mean when they
are
time they were very moved. They were emotionally, they were, both of them were ecstatic at how Krishna appeared and fulfilled the statement. They really completed the passage. And what can you expect from someone who has just served the lunch to Krishna and whose work has been sanctioned and completed by Krishna himself? That's this feeling is hard to tell you. We can't see detail as Krishna. How to explain this feeling, I don't know. So, must be very excited.
Yeah, he himself felt on the feet of Karma.
Yeah, he was very happy that you were able to serve lunch to Krishna.
Yes. You were able to go on
my food. You were able to marry you for him, sorry. Anything else?
So, with the chanting of the Hare Mantra, do you think that in our whole history of chanting Japa, at least once we chanted Namabhas, or should not?
So your question is, at least once you have chanted Namabhas by chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra for so many years? Definitely you have chanted that, so actually you see, if you just consider your offensive chanting, we will stop chanting Amba. Because somewhere here and there we have heard and chanted properly. So our enthusiasm to chant is still on. And this is exactly like a example is your fig tree. When you plant a fig tree or an mango tree, it's very difficult to imagine how the mango will taste because it's just a small plant. But time reveals how tasty the fig or the mango is. But in our condition, the reason for us to continue our devotion life with some enthusiasm means we are doing something right somewhere. Otherwise, we would have stopped it for sure. So that is a great goal. Many times devotees, when they cannot see the light at the end of the tunnel, it's very disheartening. It can really discourage devotees. So for such devotees, it's very good to see backwards and see how far the entry was. And we have come across so long distance already. So many desires have been changed in us. So many habits have been changed. So many goals have been changed in our life. And that's a great hope for us that this process is working. We may not be able to see the destination because it's all in the papers. But we know the checkpoints promised while we see the destination are coming. And that is a great hope for us. That is, certain checkpoints are coming. My lust, anger, greed, madness, and illusion is reducing. My material desires are changing. I am desiring Krishna conscious activities. I am desiring my. Can you imagine? Like at least those who came from other parts of the world, Australia, none of us came for devotional service here. But at least we desire devotional service. It is the effect of something right we are doing somewhere. And those who are coming to Tattoo for some time, we all can see we are desiring Krishna conscious activities. And it's a great blessing, it's a great hope for us. Otherwise it will not happen ordinarily. That's my understanding of
it.
Shuddhanam chanting, if you chant Shuddhanam, then the results will be related attached. Then you will not have to ask this question. If Shuddhanam we would have chanted, then we would have experienced Krishna's blessing in a very different way. But yeah, of course, we are on the path of Shuddhanam. At least we have heard many advanced devotees chanting Shuddhanam, so this is a blessing for us. Basically, to be free from all the offenses and to see Krishna's holy name as Krishna takes time. Even though we have heard this, we can quote this shloka that there is no difference between Krishna and his holy name. We even say, Deity is Krishna. That means we are living in this place, this temple, in which Radha and Krishna are standing. Actually, if you carefully observe, we don't have the full realization yet. Otherwise, outside the temple room, or even inside the temple room, or even living 1 kilometer away from the temple, we will not do anything nonsense. Because we still, somewhere in our heart, we know they are now metal, Prabhupada. The realization is not there yet. Same goes with the holy name. So, Shuddhanam is chanted by someone who is convinced that holy name is Krishna and there is no offense in that chanting. So, but we are the path, we will soon one day reach there by Krishna's and his devotee's blessings. It's very encouraging to see that we are moving towards that direction. Some are slow, some are fast, but the direction is there. The route is chalked out for us. Anything else? Okay, finish. Contraction, Bhagavan, Peter, Shri Prabhupada.